How's it going, church? I am I'm very honored and very excited to be able to share with us this morning God's word. And I feel like the Holy Spirit has already settled himself among us. It's beautiful when he's present because it just makes things so much easier. And you know, the Holy Spirit is evident. Sometimes there's manifestation, so people get delivered or slain in the spirit. But sometimes there's just joy and peace. I feel like for some of us right now, we're experiencing just God's peace. And for some of us, it might have been a sense of joy. But that's when we know that the Spirit of God is with us. So, you know, there's a scripture where it says, and I think Ross mentioned it last week as well, Elijah waiting on the Holy Spirit. And it says that he wasn't in the storm, he wasn't in the earthquake, he wasn't in the fire, but it was in the still, small voice. And I believe that today the Holy Spirit is going to speak into us like into our hearts. And I want us to prepare ourselves. It might not be a loud bang and, you know, goof, guff sort of thunder. But there is something that the Holy Spirit is going to depart. And it's falling very much aligned with that word that Noah brought. Gertrude, is that how I pronounce Gertrude? There we go. Gertrude said that she had the same picture in Netherlands. So it is that. I feel for some of us, we're experiencing God ankle deep. For some of us, we're experiencing him in the waist. And I think for all of us, we want to be overwhelmed with the Spirit of God. I want that. Lord, I want to have joy inexpressible where people look at me and they go, what's happening? And I can't express what is happening inside. All right. So we're part of a beautiful church and a beautiful plant. And I know when something new happens, like, we go and we're going, Lord, we're going to take the land, and we're excited, and there's a whole hoo-ha thing, and we must have that. We must have that sort of faith. And I remember Ross's first time when he was with us, and we were praying over here, and the two of us linked up in front because Rian asked us to pray together. And I started praying, and I was going for it. Eh? I was like, we're going to take the land together. Thank you for my brother God. And man, I was praying up a storm. And as I said, amen, it was his chance. And he said this, Father, I pray for unity. God, I pray that we'll build friendships. And you know, as he started praying, my heart just went like, oh. And I realized that's how Jesus extended the kingdom. Yes, there were signs and wonders, and yes, there was power. But there was also friends that he had with him, 12 of them. And he slept with them, walked with them, had meals with them for 3 years, and they were his best friends. And it says that when he left, he told them, now I'm not going to leave you alone, I'm going to send another friend, the Holy Spirit. And he, when he comes, you're going to do exactly as I've done, but even greater. And I want to say that the way we're going to advance the kingdom, the way we're going to advance in our communities, the way we're going to advance telling people about Jesus is actually one of the key things is friendships. Amen. And I want to say this. We put a lot of faith in our prayers to God. We put faith in our provision for God. We put faith in wanting to bring a word and stir up and a word of encouragement. But honestly, how many of us put faith in friendships? Have you ever approached a friendship with faith? No, right? Majority of the time, no. Why? Because we brought up in a certain manner. Most of the times, my friendships are those that I have something in common with. So either we were at school together, either we were from the same culture, either we were at a polo club together. Don't think any of us play polo here, but anyway, you know, but somehow we are connected through something that is external. But you know, I love the scripture, and maybe I'll just read it quickly. About Abraham, James chapter 2, verse 22 to 23. Have you guys got that one? Cool. You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. 23. And the scripture was fulfilled by saying, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him as righteousness. And he was called the friend of God. And it's amazing, like you can ask any scholar, any theologian, anybody that loves the Lord. Abraham was known as a person of faith. But God takes that faith and he goes, you've got that much faith in me that I actually want to call you my friend. How beautiful is that one day when we stand before God and everybody walks in and you go, well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into your joy. Well done, my... And here Abraham comes and he goes, ah, here's my friend. Yo, that's goosebumps, bro. Like, picture that, eh? Like, everybody gets the well done, my good and faithful servant. And Abraham comes in and he goes, yo, this is my friend. I mean, that should wreck our hearts. It should make us go like, Lord, like, if God takes friendship this important, how much more important must it be to us? Amen. Sorry, guys, I am of the old school. No iPads, just iNotes, okay? And feel for us, like I've come to know this church and I've seen faces come and I've seen faces go, and then I've had faces that's been with me from day one, with Tammy and Kalinal, Auntie Lorraine, Sean, Cheryl, all guys from the Kingdom Faith Days. But I can honestly say that every area of extending the kingdom, if friendships were not involved of there, we would not be over here today. Amen. And so I want to start off by saying that there's three things that I feel like I just want to build us into that is going to be helpful for how we build friendships in the kingdom. All right? And it's going to be, one, we're not bonded by commonality. The only commonality that we have is the Holy Spirit. Number two, that friendships are one of honor, so it's an honorable thing. And the last one is that I actually scratched it out. I felt the Holy Spirit say, don't use that I was going to call it rewarding, but actually, number three, creates room for more. Or creates, let me just see what I wrote over here, sorry. Creates room for others. There we go. So that's what godly friendships does. All right. And now I'm going to base it from the friendship of Jonathan and David. Everybody know Jonathan and David? If you don't, that's okay. We're going to read it from scripture as well. All right. But it's probably one of my most favorite ones. So let's start off. We start off by bonded by the Spirit. All right. 1 Samuel 18. And I'm just going to read verse 1 to 5 quickly. Have you guys got that? And it says, as soon as he had finished, this is now after David had killed Goliath. It's a very graphic picture. Just before that, he's walking with the head of Goliath coming to Saul. And then he comes and as soon as he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Next one. And Saul took him that day and would not let him return to his father's house. Then Jonathan made a covenant with David because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself off the robe that was on him and gave it to David, and his armor, and even his sword, and his bow, and his belt. And David went out and was successful wherever Saul sent him, so that Saul set him over the men of war. And this was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And so the first thing that I want to make mention over here is, if we understand the times and the days over there, is that they were connected by spirit or by soul. And David and Jonathan, completely two different backgrounds. Jonathan, prince. Jonathan, wealthy. Jonathan, soldier. Jonathan, plus minus 20 years older than David. David, poor shepherd boy, out in the fields, smelling like sheep, comes in over there. And after he speaks to the father, Jonathan goes, I am so connected to this guy. Probably doesn't know what is happening, but actually what is happening in the spiritual realm is that they are beginning to be connected by the Spirit. And can I say something on that? Ross, when he came through, sorry Ross, I'm probably going to be using you quite often in this. But when he came, we had our first elders meeting and it was crazy. Our first time, and one by one, Martin, Enrico, myself, we said, hey, Ross, we know you may be from a distance, but we want you to know that you guys have our hearts. He didn't have to earn it. He didn't have to show that he's a good friend to us. We were immediately connected because of the spirit within us. And I want to say that in our communities and in our friendships in church, friendships in church, that's not slang, by the way, Mo. That is just a tongue twist. Okay. Friendships, yeah. Friendships in church is one of the highest values that we can have. Friendships in church. God values it. Same spirit that is in Val is also in me. Otto doesn't have to be my age for me to be his friend. I can still be his friend because we are connected by the Spirit. All right? Amen. Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 to 28 says this, for in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. All sons of God through faith. For as many of you were baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male. There is no female. You are all one in Christ. And when you understand that, let me tell you something. It becomes a lot harder to get offended when somebody offends you. Because when I look at you, I go, I want to be offended right now. But right now, my spirit and your spirit is going, work through the offense because we are one. How many times have you heard this? And don't stick up your hand. Nah, I don't want to come to church. I feel like people at church are fake. My unsaved friends, they understand me more. It's better to hang out with them. Can I tell you honestly, that is a genuine lie straight from hell. There's no way that light and dark can mix. My unsaved friends, and I've still got a lot of them, and I still pop in by them over there. But honestly, if I hang out too long with them, and I can honestly say maybe just even 2 weeks, sooner or later, I'm going to get affected by it. It's never on the opposite side, unless the Holy Spirit sends me to them. But when I'm hanging out and making them my company, soon my words start to sound like theirs. Soon I start to look very similar to what I looked like before the Lord started to get me. And I want to say that's because they don't have the Holy Spirit within them. And so, yes, there are times in church where it's difficult and I don't understand how this friendship thing is working and we're all coming from different backgrounds. But man, put faith in it. Go like, God, I've been reaching out to this person for the past 3 weeks, trying to just have a coffee time with them, and not one time have they responded to it. That's okay. We work through those things. We don't throw or hang up the towel and go, it was actually better with my unsafe friends. Because believe me, with my unsafe friends, I'm going to start to look like I'm unsaved. Think about in your community as well. And I don't want to be touchy on this sort of thing, but there's always room for change. But in my community, if I'm always the one that is bouncing from one community to another, and it's always because there's somebody in the, or the community's just never working out for me, maybe, just maybe, the Lord is going, actually, I need you to apply faith into those places that I'm setting you to be. Because when you do begin to gel and you do begin to work through these friendships, it's beautiful. I've heard testimonies of where people say like, ooh, that person gets onto my last nerve. And years later, man, they're best friends. And you go like, how did that unfold? You know how it unfolded? Somebody took faith and stuck it out. Somebody took faith and went, God, it doesn't matter how these things unfold. I'm going to love, I'm going to push through, and I'm going to build toward this friendship. And when that friendship comes together, it's beautiful because now it's built on God. And normally, it's those friendships that works all the way through. Amen. I've been there. I've had difficult friends where I had to put faith in it. I had times when I didn't have anything in common with people that God placed around me. And everything within me just went, I want to withdraw. Doesn't make sense to me. And God goes, actually, that's your family, my boy. Stick it out. Amen. Second point that I want to make is friendships are one of honor. And so we read that scripture, and if you remember, part of that scripture over there, it said that when David and Jonathan connected, that Jonathan began to strip himself from his position. Took off the sword, took off the belt. You know what I mean? And the robe, there we go. Now, I'm no theologian, so I'm going to share what scholars shared, all right? This was a profound symbolic act of transferring his rights as heir to the throne, recognizing that David was the future king chosen by God. This act symbolized supreme loyalty, covenant friendship, and submission to the divine will of God. That's beautiful. Friendships will always be one of honor. In fact, it's another scripture where it says that we must outdo one another in honor. Did I give you guys that one? Let me just check quickly. Well, I think that one is in Romans, but I want to read to us an example of Jesus Christ in Philippians 2. It says over here, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you not look only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others, having this mind among yourselves that is yours in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. And I want to say this, friendships always look out for the interest of others. But at the same time, it recognizes the grace of God in others as well. I almost want to just pause on that for a little bit. You know, we live in a day and age now where everybody's equal, it's my way, and if you don't like who I am and what I do, then we just cancel you, you know what I mean? But actually in the kingdom of God, like, it could have been different, but this is the way God chose it. There is hierarchy. There is identifying grace. Yes, does he love us all the same? Absolutely. But does his kingdom work in a term of governmental way? Absolutely. And I want to say, like, it will be good for us as believers to go, Lord, I want to understand your kingdom. I don't understand what it is and how you see me. I actually want to understand your kingdom. Because when you understand God's kingdom, that is where life truly begins to flow. And I want to say that Jonathan understood kingdom. And when he recognized the grace over David's life, he was going, Lord, even though I'm the rightful heir to be the next king, I see the grace of God upon this young man, 20 years younger than me. He's never been in awe. I've just seen what the power of God can do through him, slaying the giant. So I'm recognizing that your spirit is upon him. And he takes everything that belongs to him, everything that is rightfully his, and he gives it to Jonathan. How many of us can do that in our friendships? How many of us can do that where we go like, you know what? I know I like ice skating. You like horse riding. For the sake of this friendship, let's go horse riding. Let's maybe bring it a little bit inner. I know that you like waking up early in the morning. And you'd much prefer to have lunch at 12 o'clock. But somehow the Holy Spirit has brought you into this congregation. And he's saying, for the sake of others, I want you to have that lunch a little bit later and come and work in of where I've brought you into. Or maybe even a little bit closer. Hey, I know you're a little, when you share in community, you sound wiser than the community leader. But for the sake of the community, can you maybe allow the community leader to lead and not always interrupt and have a better answer? Can you identify the grace that maybe God's called this guy for the now? I want to say it's a beautiful thing, guys, when we outdo one another in honor. When we go, I want to see somebody flourish in God more than what I wanted for myself. You know what? The Lord sees, man. He sees you. And so let's make the loudest noise in the secret place. Let's make the loudest noise in the secret place. And when we're with one another, let's take what we got from the secret place and go, I'm going to honor this people that is among us. Amen. True story. Lindsay Jafter, Dave Jafter's son. We grew up basically in church together. Or when I got saved, he was one of the first friends that I started to hang out with. And we started serving together. We got brought on to leadership together. We were youth leaders together. And he's very stable. And I was very loud at the time. All right? And then Adam was handing over leadership. And obviously it went through the elders. And they went, Lindsay, we want you to be the leader. And my heart was gutted. I was like, huh? No, I'm kidding. Or maybe not. I don't know. But anyway. But now you must understand this. You know, it's a friend now. So now it's like my best friend. He's the leader. And because he trusted me, man, he gave me so much opportunity. I mean, I remember bringing a word one day that made no sense. No sense, but because he was my friend, he allowed me to. I said, if you're feeling the Holy Spirit moving over here, I'm going to put this hula hoop in front. And if that's you, come over here. And people realized, like, how are we all going to fit in there? I got, honestly, I got so frustrated. I had a Moses moment. I kicked it like, boom. And Lindsay, afterward, he's like, bro, I don't think that the Holy Spirit wasn't in the word. I just think we should have got something bigger to get him. For real, eh? He was so gracious toward me. And one day we were on a men's camp. And Magdo Faye shared a word. Actually, this word of Jonathan and Saul. And as he spoke about Jonathan taking off the robe, and like my heart was so cut, eh? I went straight to Lindsay after that and I said, bro, I just want to ask you for forgiveness. I've been treating you like my friend. And actually, even though we are friends, I identify that you're the leader of this youth. And I want to come underneath you. And I want to, if you tell me, Eurek, you're never going to preach on a Friday night again, that's okay. Whatever you want me to do, Lindsay, I'm going to do it. And you know what? He actually, and Lindsay never cries. Lindsay cried that day. And he said, bro, I didn't know how to say. Sometimes you were a little bit too strong. But thank you for making it easy enough for me to lead. And I understood in that moment, actually from that day onward, any leader that came, that was the position that I took. You're my friend. But I identify the grace of God upon you. Amen. Amen. And guys, can you believe it? This is my landing. Yeah. But again, like I just want to say, Holy Spirit sometimes just speaks into that still small voice. For some of us over here, it might be that I've actually built friendship through commonality and not through the Spirit. And today, like, you've got to make right with God and go, Lord, I want to begin to build through the Spirit and not through commonality. For some of us, it is that, like, hey, man, I see us as equal, or actually, I want to push you before me. I want to see you flourish before I start to flourish. Amen. And the last one, I'm actually going to read the story. And if I get this guy's name right, then we know the Spirit is evident. Mephibosheth. Yes, sir. You're practicing this whole week. And my last one is this. It always creates room for others. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We'll read the whole one. And David asked. So this is after Jonathan and Saul are killed in all. And I just want to give you a little bit of background. You don't have to go over there, but when you guys go and read your own scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 23 verse 17 says this. You don't have to go there. Say this, and he said to him, do not fear, for the hand of Saul my father shall not find you. You will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you. Saul my father also knows this. This is actually Jonathan identifying, like, David, you're going to be king. And I know that my father wants to kill you. And there's another little bit of exchange that they have, because they made like a covenant 3 times. And in one of the covenants, he says, David, when you become king, don't remove your steadfast love for me. Over here, he says, I want to sit next to you, David. You know what I mean? It's beautiful. It's just like, bro, we besties. We're going for the kingdom. Like, when you become king, I just want to be close to you. But then Jonathan and Saul dies.
So 2 Samuel 2, this is David now. David asks, is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness? For whose sake? For Jonathan's sake. Now there was a servant of Saul's house named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, are you from Ziba or are you Ziba? At your service, he replied. The king asked, is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness? So firstly, David's kindness or Jonathan or for Jonathan, and then secondly, God's kindness. Ziba answered the king, there is still a son of Jonathan, but he is lame in both feet. In other words, he's crippled. Where is he? The king asked. Ziba answered, he's in the house of Machir, son of Amiel in Lodabar. So King David had him brought from Lodabar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, Mephibosheth, at your service, he replied. Don't be afraid, David said to him, for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan. I will restore you all the land that belonged to your grandfather, Saul. And you will always, love that, you will always eat at my table. Mephibosheth bowed down and said, what is your servant that you'd notice a dead dog like me? Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm for him and bring out the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Then Ziba said to the king, your servant will do whatever the Lord the king commands his servant to do. So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's son. And I want to finish off with this true story. So, firstly, we see that he was lame. And secondly, we see that David goes, sends servants out through all the land to find somebody that was still linked to Jonathan. And you know, guys, when I just got saved, like, man, I was a wreck, eh? Like, but the Lord radically saved me. So I got immediately set free from drugs. I got immediately set free from alcohol. But I was still very crippled. So in other words, I was still very insecure. And then coming into Kingdom Faith Family Church was culture shock for me. I had never interacted with any other race beside my race. For real, eh? So everything was completely new to me. I remember coming in and sitting on the chair, and people would always ask, like, and come up to me and greet and wondered why he's so shy or quiet, or does he think he's too cool? Because I used to sit with that tilted head. You know that tilted head, look, guys? That one like this? That's how I used to sit in the chair. And people used to just check, like, what's up with this guy, you know? But that tilted look was more a protective thing, like, I didn't want you to hear our sound when I spoke. Because when you spoke, it was very hearty, hearty, raw. And when I spoke, it was very much, yeah, 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 you know. So I used to be quiet on the end over there. And you know, when God saved me, one of the first things he did, he told me, my boy, you can't hang out with your friends anymore. And we grew up like close. I mean, we saw death together. We were in one another's houses. The moms all knew. So it was very, very hard for me to leave my unsafe friends. It's like, but then the Lord told me, but I'm going to give you new friends. And I was so excited. And then I started getting a little bit used to maybe like 1 month, 2 months now. And then I started to identify, okay, there are young adults over here, Lindsay being one of them. And I remember the pastor, Walmarie, at the time coming to me and saying, hey, those guys want to hang out with you. Why don't you reach out to them? And I thought, okay, I did. And that time we still had the landlines. And I used to phone. And I say, and they answer, hey, who's speaking? I say, hey, it's Yurik over here. I just want to find out, are you guys doing anything maybe this Friday? And then it's almost like everything just goes quiet in the background. And I just hear, so, no, we don't have anything much planned, man. And I used to feel like, yo, don't these guys want to hang out with me? Guys, listen, true story. For a full year, I reached out every second Friday to find out if anybody wanted to hang out with me. Nobody. Not nobody. None of the people that I wanted to hang out with me. And then the question came up, God, it's better for me to go back to my unsaved friends. But I knew for some reason that I was at the table of Jesus. And he became my best friend in that time. Because there was nobody else to hang out with. I hung out with Jesus day and night. I would get to know him. I started to identify his voice. But there came a point in time where God also realized, like, it's not good for people to be on the outskirts on their own. And then God sent a David to me. And that David was actually in the form of a female. Wasn't a girlfriend. It was a very good friend. Her name is Tammy. Tammy Joanna is sitting right there. For real. And you know, guys, I promise you, for my first 2 years with walking with the Lord, Tammy became a David to me. She took that crippled boy in. She would invite me on Fridays to come have supper with her family. I knew her family back then. I could swim in the pool. I could run on the treadmill. I could just be a friend with Tammy. And Tammy would encourage me. Auntie Lorraine and Uncle Lionel would drive out demons regularly out of me. But I was in their house daily. And you know what? Honestly, I'm walking in my inheritance. I timed myself. I'm walking in my inheritance today because Tammy became a David to me. And she brought me in. And sooner or later, everybody else started to hang out with me and became friends with me. And I want to say that I probably would have made a U-turn in my walk with God if it had not been with Tammy. And she understood, eh? She really invested a friendship with me. She understood what is important to me. So remember, I'm still newly saved. So when my unsaved friends were having house parties, I still wanted to be over there. And you know what Tammy used to do? Tammy used to borrow me her jeans, bro. Yeah, I didn't wear female jeans, by the way. She had the boy's jeans that fitted me as well. Tammy borrowed me her jeans, for real. So when I rocked up at their party, I looked cool. They just looking at, yo, Yurik, where are you getting this outfit from? Don't want to tell you guys, I got a good friend. Tammy. And you know what? In my culture, sneakers are a huge thing. I can't afford them anymore, so the Lord has humbled me like that. But sneakers, yes, so if you got the right sneakers on, like, man. And you know what? When they went to America and they came back, what do you think they brought me? Sneakers, black Nikes with a bubble right around, I'll never forget. And you know what they did? What they were doing is they were showing that there's room for you at the table of God. Don't go back where you came from. The Lord has delivered you. And today I'm walking my inheritance because somebody became a David to me. And I want to say for you guys, you might be a Tammy to somebody. There might be somebody that is on the outskirts in your community, and everybody in the community gets along, but there's just this one person, and we can't understand them, but I want to say, become a Tammy to them, be a Jonathan to them, be a David to them, befriend them, because this is the way we extend the kingdom. Amen. I land with that, and I want to encourage you, take friendships and take it by faith, and together we grab hold of the land. Amen.